want to address a topic this night, tonight that was actually brought up on Wednesday night. David made a good point, asked a good question in our Wednesday evening class that I wanted to expand a little further on this evening. And the question essentially when he brought up was, what do I do when I don't feel faithful? What do I do when I don't feel like I'm living up to the way God would want me to live? How do I know if I'm faithful? And that topic, and I know that's something that you've thought about at some point in your life, or maybe someone you love has gone through something in their life, and so you've thought about concerning their faith and their soul. It's a very good question, it's a very common question, it's a very reasonable question. Because when somebody asks that question, they're thinking about it, thinking about their faith, they're thinking about growing in their faith, and so that's always a good thing. When Jesus was asked questions in his ministry, he often answered the question with a question. Many of the times, of course, he's being accused of something. Somebody's asking him something, or they didn't really want information. They were just trying to make a point with him. And so he would respond with another question to get at their heart. Well, if you've ever thought about this issue, this topic, ask yourself this question, I want to turn around and ask you a question. I want you to think about something tonight as we address this. And the question is, why do you feel this way? Is it about somebody else? But if you're it might be about somebody else, but if it's about you, you're thinking about your own spiritual life, and you've come to the point where you've asked this question, then I ask you, why do you feel this way? Why do you feel like you're not faithful? Why do you feel like that you may be even lost, so far away from God that you're no longer in a right relationship with Him, and now you feel like that if the Lord were to come today, that you would not be saved? Why do you feel this way? Really, three things come to mind very briefly I want us to address and then get on to a more positive view of this issue. There's really only three reasons why somebody would ask this question or be thinking about it. And we've all thought about it. We've all asked ourselves this about our own faith and if we are being faithful enough. Really only three ways that you come to ask that question. First of all, it could be because there's a sin in your life that you're committing. And you feel like that sin has pulled you away from God. Of course, the answer is yes. Anytime sin is committed, we're one step further away from God. And sometimes people realize they're doing something. Maybe it's a public issue. Maybe it's a private issue. But because that sin is in their life, they start thinking, well, am I still in a saved condition? How is this affecting my soul? Well, of course, you know how the Bible addresses that situation. It comes down to one word, and that is to repent. To confess that you have committed those sins. To go to God and say, here's what I've done. I know that it is a sin. I know that you don't want me to do that. Your word tells me I should not live this way. And I pray for your forgiveness, confessing that sin. And that's repenting. And then we go on and to stop doing that thing and make effort, all efforts, to remove ourselves from that temptation and that sin. So you might be asking that question about your faith because there's a sin in your life. The second reason that you might have asked that question is that you maybe just don't know what the Bible says about forgiveness. It may be a position of ignorance. Ignorance is a strong word today. We usually mean it to mean that somebody is just lacking intelligence. They're not very smart. Ignorance doesn't have anything to do with how smart you are. It just means you don't know something. So you may have asked this question based on sin, but you may ask it based on ignorance of God's word about forgiveness. A Christian is the one who asks this question, of course. And someone who's lost would never ask this question. So a Christian asks this question. Somebody who has obeyed the gospel, somebody who's confessed Christ, repented of their sins when they came to the Lord, and they're baptized into Christ. Well, the Bible says that when that happened, your sins were washed away. And 1 John chapter 1 tells us that if we continue to walk in the light, that he is going to continue to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When we were baptized into Christ, it didn't mean that we would never commit another sin. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that you'll never be tempted again. Remember, right after Jesus was baptized, even though he was baptized for a different reason than we are, the very next thing that happened to Jesus was that he was tempted. After his baptism, Satan approached him, and we know about those temptations that he went through in the wilderness. The same is true with you. After your baptism, you'll continue to be tempted. After your baptism, you will continue to sin. But the Bible is very clear that the blood of Christ will continue to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. So you may have asked this question from a position of ignorance and thinking, well, baptism really didn't do anything for me. Now that sounds so strange coming from a Christian, but it seems like a lot of people live their life that way. They were baptized, but it's like that made no difference. They're still trying to strive for moral perfection and thinking that unless I can reach moral perfection, God is never going to save me. And if that's how they live their life, I would ask that person, what do you think baptism did? What benefit is it to being a Christian if you spend the rest of your life feeling guilty for all the sins you commit and acting as if there's no remedy, that no matter what you do, you will be lost? You may just simply be ignorant of what the Bible says about forgiveness. It may be because of sin in your life. It may be because of just ignorance of God's word. Or you may just simply have some amnesia. Some spiritual amnesia. Maybe you just forgot that God loves you. Maybe you just forgot about all the things the Bible says about faith, about walking in the light, about being in the church, about being a child of God, and all the blessings that come from that. Maybe it's the fact that you know those things, but you just forgot. That's usually the case with most of us. It's not that we never knew. We know it, but we just forget it. Sometimes the trials of life start building up, and the burdens in our lives start building up, and we forget all that the Lord is still doing for us on a daily basis. You may say, why do I feel like I'm not faithful? Am I faithful enough? You may ask that question because of sin or ignorance or amnesia. I want us, though, to think about this question one other way. I think the clearest way to answer the question, am I faithful enough? Am I in a good relationship with God? I think that one of the clearest indications of whether or not you're in a good relationship with God is your level of forgiveness for other people. Have you ever thought about that? When you ask the question, am I faithful? Am I as faithful as I should be? Just think about how often do you forgive others? You say, well, why would you single in on that aspect of faith? Why would I not mention church attendance? Why would I not mention prayer? Why would I not mention so many other things that involve faith? Why would I think about forgiveness of others? Because over and over again in the New Testament, the Bible says that the forgiveness we receive is connected to the forgiveness that we give others. If you're asking, if you're worried about how often God forgives you and if He forgives you, you may want to do an inventory of how often you forgive others. The Bible connects our forgiveness with how we forgive others in Colossians 3:13, in Matthew 6:15, in Ephesians 4:32, and in Mark 11:25. There are a lot of people thinking about themselves, their own relationship with God, and they don't take the time to think, well, maybe I need to be giving the forgiveness to other people that I'm expecting God to forgive me, or expect as much as I want God to forgive me. They often don't think on those terms. They often think that I need to stop this sin or start doing this thing over here, and never think of their relationship with other people. Just think of their own behavior, their own words that come out of their mouths, but that's really kind of where it stops. And you say, well, how do I know if I've forgiven other people the way I should? How do I know if that's a problem in my life? That's another good question. Think of these ways to address that. First of all, you think of that person only in that one incident. When that person's name is brought up, and the only thing that you think about when that person's name is mentioned is the time that that person hurt you, is 50 years ago, 30 years ago, yesterday, when somebody did something to you, and when their name is mentioned today, you just think of that one thing. I think there might be a forgiveness problem there. Or maybe when that person's name is mentioned, you only have one set of feelings for that person. When their name is brought up, all of a sudden, anger instantly arises. All of a sudden, that you think of that time that that person hurt you, and you immediately have those same feelings all over again. You know, that definition of bitterness is old anger. Simple definition of bitterness, old anger. Not because of something new that happened today that we get angry about, but old anger. Anger that's been around a long time. So if you only think of somebody one way, based on one thing that they did, and every time their name is mentioned, you have all those old feelings come up. And maybe every time that that person's name is brought up, or maybe just out of the blue, and in a conversation, you're eating lunch with somebody, and all of a sudden, you start in on that person. Just out of nowhere, just bring up their name, and start talking about that incident, or start talking about all the things that they did that hurt your feelings and caused a problem in your relationship. Think there might be a forgiveness problem there. You have to ask yourself, why do I think of this person or these people? It could be a group of people. I only think of them one way, but this person over here may have done something, but I don't characterize them by that one thing. They get the benefit of the doubt. I think of them in all the other ways that I know them. I think of the good things they do. I think of positive things that they do. And if you've created a separation in how you see this person, how you see everybody else, I think there's a forgiveness problem there. And maybe the first step in feeling closer to God and feeling like you're as faithful as you need to be, maybe the first step is to start forgiving those people. Remember the words of Jesus on the cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Those people had put him on a cross, put a crown of thorns on his head, had driven nails into his hands and his feet. He was suffocating. He was bleeding to death. And he was able to summon the strength to say, Father, I want you to forgive these people. And we know later, in Acts chapter 2, the people that came to the Lord, believed the gospel, were forgiven. All of them. After Peter had said, you put Jesus on the cross. Even though those people had traveled from all over the world for Pentecost, they weren't there the day Jesus was crucified. They understood what he meant. Their sin put Jesus on the cross. Our sins put Jesus on the cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He wasn't just talking to the people there at the foot of the cross. He wasn't just talking to those people who were standing there looking up at him. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He was talking about the people world over. All the sins put Jesus on the cross. If you ever ask the question, why do I not feel like I'm faithful enough, start with forgiveness of others. The Bible puts those two things right together. If you want the forgiveness of God, you better be able to give forgiveness to other people. It better be as available to them as you want it to be for you. There are a lot of people in the Bible who would have thought about their own faithfulness at times because of the things they had done. Think of somebody like Lot in the Old Testament. The Bible says in Genesis 19 and 20, gives us the story of him. Earlier in chapter 13, he pitched his tent toward Sodom, toward that direction, in the direction of this wicked city, went to live there. He offered his daughters up to the rapists who were trying to get to them. He got drunk later, committed incest. 2 Peter chapter 2, the Bible calls Lot a righteous man. Maybe Rahab in Joshua chapter 2, who's a prostitute, who lets the spies stay at her house. She lies about their whereabouts, so the men go off somewhere else. But we know in Hebrews chapter 11, Rahab's listed among all those, listed among the Abrahams and the Moseses and the Isaacs and all those people as being this person of faith. Or maybe somebody like David, we know his story, committing adultery with Bathsheba, having Bathsheba's husband murdered, lying and all the things that he did. 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 14, David's described as a man after God's own heart. Maybe most famously is Saul, also known by his Roman name as Paul, who held the coats as Stephen was being martyred, was being stoned. He accommodated the murderers. He goes on to persecute the church. In the next verse in Acts chapter 8:1, he said in Acts chapter 26, maybe a lesser known little tidbit that Paul gives us, it says that there were times when there was a vote taken about what to do with the Christians and putting them to death and sentencing them to prison. He said, I always counted my vote against them. I counted my vote against the Christians. And yet, we don't think of Paul that way. It was Paul that the Lord spoke to on the way to Damascus and said, you're going to be my missionary to the Gentile world, to the non-Jews, to everybody outside of God's people for so long. Jesus is also their Savior. Jesus is not just the Savior of the Jews. It's always interesting to me when the Bible highlights some people and tells us a little bit about their biography. Other times we just have a name. You notice that? It's maybe at the end of one of the books is Paul lists a bunch of people that he knew. We don't know anything else about them. He maybe gives one sentence about them. But other people, we get more information. We don't even have all the biography, of course, of Jesus. We don't have any biography of Jesus. We just have little snapshots of his life, scenes of his life over about a 3 or 4 year history. I wonder if a book of the Bible were written about you, what it would say. You ever thought about that? We have books of the Bible like Titus, the person who received that letter from Paul. So his name is on it. We know it by his name. What if your name was a book of the Bible? What story would it tell? You think, oh, that'd be the worst thing imaginable. I wouldn't want people reading about me for the rest of time and all the things that I did that weren't good. All the embarrassing things I did I wouldn't want my grandchildren reading about those things. I wouldn't want that recorded in a book somewhere and have my name on it. I would suppose that if there were a book of the Bible with your name on it and told a few instances from your life, it wouldn't be nearly as bad as the things we hear about, read about in God's Word about the people I just mentioned. Why is that there? Why do we read about those people? Why do we have to know that Rahab was a prostitute? Why do we have to know that? What did it have to do with anything? We could have just said Rahab, a woman. maybe we have all this information about Lot and Rahab and David and Saul and other people like that. So when you ask the question one day, I wonder if I'm saved. So 2,000 years later, that if somebody came along and said, I wonder if I'm saved, I wonder if I am faithful enough to go to heaven, that you'll be able to read the Bible, read about those people and how embarrassing their lives were and the things they did that weren't God approved, but yet they were saved. Maybe all that's in the Bible to encourage you when you ask those questions. And say, you know, Rahab wasn't the best person either. She was a prostitute. Even when encountering God's people, she lied. But years later, the Bible says she was a person of faith. What would your book be about? What would it say about you? It would tell the story. It may say all the things that you did that were embarrassing. But it would also say that you gave your life to Christ. And that when you sinned, you were forgiven. Because that is the blessing of the gospel. And that's a blessing you receive that the people of the world don't have. The people who never obeyed, they don't have. Those who are in severe desperation about their soul, or should be, are the ones who never obey. The ones who reject Jesus every day and say, I'm going to live for me. I will not give my life to Him. Those are the ones who will be lost. But you have the advantage. You have the blessing of being able to go to the Lord and say, here's what I've done. I confess things and I know that you forgive. I know that you love me. I know that I'm one of your children. And that I'll receive every promise that the Bible tells me that I'll receive because I'm a Christian. If you're not a Christian tonight, you need to come to the Lord, not wait any longer, and know those blessings. Know about the opportunity we have to have forgiveness. Know that you're not perfect today and you won't be perfect tomorrow just because you've been baptized. But you will be forgiven. You'll have your sins washed away. And don't be ignorant of that. And don't ever forget that. Remember the great blessings of God. If you also need prayers this evening, we can help you in that way as well. Please come while we stand and sing.